Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for coming out to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on this lovely day. I want to remind you that during communion service, you'll hold your elements until all served and we'll take together. And remind you, you do not have to be a member of Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church to receive communion. All we ask is that you are a believer when you partake. Chili cook-off today after worship, and we thank the session for putting this together, and I know we'll have a good time. You get to vote on your favorite chili and have a good meal. Senior Adult Day, and you can talk to B.J. Morrison about it. It'll be Wednesday, October the 7th. The annual harvest that is listed in the bulletin is not going to happen next week. Deacons had to cancel that, so we will not have that next Sunday. You can read about the food bank challenge, sign up for scripture reader, and then you know to fill out the praise and prayer request. And they put a note in here, their cough drops, minted, and bottled water, and Kleenex on the back. This is a season where a lot of people have been ill. So, and also, due to the leaders are going to be out of town next week, no Bible fellowship next week. So no Bible fellowship next Sunday. If you take your red pad, sign it, pass it down, have a record of your attendance, we would appreciate that. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our hymn of praise this morning is 499, Sunshine in My Soul.
Thank you.
lovely. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you sent your Son into our lives. We worship you for providing a way to eternal life through Jesus. Forgive us when we fail to seek unity within your church. Forgive us for not living lives that honor Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Help us find peace in our lives through prayer and worship. Remind us that you love all your children. Grant us a new closeness with one another and with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for a personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us on this World Communion Sunday seek a sense of unity within our church and within the world as we recite our Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and stood upon the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. Someone's name you don't know, be sure to ask. responsive reading in the back of your hymnals on 718, A Contemporary Affirmation of Faith. 718, A Contemporary Affirmation of Faith. We believe in Jesus Christ the Lord, who was promised to the people of Israel, who came in the flesh to dwell among us, who announced the coming of the rule of God, who gathered disciples and taught them, who died on the cross to free us from sin, who rose from the dead to give us life and hope, who reigns in heaven at the right hand of God, who comes to judge and bring justice to victory.
We believe in God his Father, who raised him from the dead, who created and sustains the universe, who acts to deliver his people in times of need, who desires all men everywhere to be saved, who rules over the destinies of men and nations, who continues to love men even when they reject him.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, who is a form of God present in the church, who moves men and women to faith and obedience, who is a guarantee of our deliverance, who leads us to find God's will in the Word, who assists those whom he renews in prayer, who guides us in discernment, who impels us to act together.
We believe God has made us his people, to invite others to follow Christ, to encourage one another to deeper commitment, to proclaim forgiveness of sins and hope, to reconcile men to God through word and deed, to bear witness to the power of love over hate, to proclaim Jesus the Lord over all, to meet the daily tasks of life with purpose, to suffer joyfully for the cause of right, to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the age, to the praise of his glory. Amen.
This time I invite the elder on the door to come forward to prayer and praise requests.
Good morning. This morning, Mabe is asking for prayers for friends of hers, Gloria Myers and her sister Ethel. They are both very ill. And also, Carol and John Kane have asked that they request prayers and support for the family of little Ava Campbell. We first met Ava when she was just a baby. Even then, she had a bright smile for everyone. Please pray that her family will somehow find strength in the face of this terrible, senseless tragedy.
As we go to prayer, I remind you that we'll pray for the persons listed in the Valley newsletter and on the back of the bulletin, and all those of you who may have silent prayer requests that you want to keep personal. And I have a prayer I would like to add for my sister, Cheryl. If you've been watching the news, you know the floodwaters that are hitting Myrtle Beach and all that surrounding area. Historic amount of rain, more than we think has ever happened, at least in recorded history. Well, she lives in South Myrtle Beach, worked in North Myrtle Beach. She thought she needed to leave work at 5 and go back because of my dad, who's having dementia problems. So she felt compelled to go back, took a back way around, so because she knew 17 would be congested, and she got caught in a flash flood. Came up over her car, of course shut off all the power in the car. You don't think about this, but electric windows and the doors locked, and she was trying to kick out the window, and finally police arrived and rescued her, and has been close to 200 rescues like that in the Carolinas. So prayer for her, because her car is ruined and all that stuff, and for my dad. And her sister, her daughter, who's taking care of my dad, so she can get back home to her home. And all the people of the Carolinas and everyone affected by these floodwaters, and even here locally. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. Today we're going to receive communion, and we're going to do it with other churches in our community and around the world, called World Communion or Worldwide Communion Sunday. And we thank you for the gift of Jesus, what he has done for us, given us the gift of salvation, the promise of eternal life, that we can have hope in this world no matter what happens, no matter how horrific things are, mass shootings, floods, disease, all the things that come against us. But we know that you are for us. You care for each and every one of us. You love us. And that's why Jesus came, and that's why the promises that you've made through Scripture that we hold on tightly to. So we lift all these prayer requests up to you, knowing not only that you hear them as they're presented by Jesus in your throne room, but that you act accordingly upon them. So we lay our lives before you, asking for your help, and you determine what we need in our lives. Thank you for that. And we thank you for Jesus, the lessons he taught his disciples, and them going out after they were touched by the Holy Spirit, spreading the good news of salvation. And we thank you that before you left, you gave your disciples this beautiful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation is a screen song. I think we've done it a time or two, at least once. Come, share the Lord. Of eternal life. And you have called us out of the world into your church. We are grateful for that. So we use the gifts and the talents that have been given to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, that your name might be proclaimed and spread. People would believe and have hope. Lord, thank you for the church. Thank you for loving us. And as pastor, I thank you for these people, for their dedication, all that they do, all that they give, all their love for you, for one another, and for your church. Bless them this day, Lord, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
I have a scripture reader for today. As she's coming forward, I want to make a quick announcement. It's listed in the bulletin, Lynn Garvey. Some of you know her, some of you don't. She's our church secretary. But Lynn was diagnosed with cancer around her mouth, and she's been taking treatments. I went online and read this. I may have told you once, but it makes her face just all red, almost like severe sunburn or a fire. So some of her hours are not regular like they normally would be listed. She's doing some things from the home, and she still has a couple more weeks of this medication, then it will start clearing back up. But she's in a lot of pain with it also. So be in special prayer for her. She suffers from this cancer on her face.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
This reading is from Corinthians 11, 17 through 26. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you came together, it is not for the better, but for the worst. For in the first place, when you assemble as a church, I hear there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you meet together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal, and one is hungry and the other is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, for which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also the cup, after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Here ends the reading.
Thank you, Patty. Just a little background, because you read this and you see them talking about dinner and people getting drunk and some having food and some not. In the early church, they would come together for a meal, the Lord's Supper. And we have kind of changed it through history, where we basically just come and we partake of the bread and the wine or the juice today. So you have to understand that to really understand that passage of Scripture. Now, on this Sunday, while we Americans were sleeping, Christians in Africa left their places of worship to see their pastors take bread in their hands and say, "This is my body." In Jerusalem, also heard the words, "This is my body." In London, silence fell across the congregations as the pastors declared, "This is my body." In churches across the United States today, pastors take bread in the hands and declare, "This is my body." In thatch roof mission stations across the islands of Pacific this afternoon, those words will be uttered, "This is my body." This is World Communion Sunday, or Worldwide Communion Sunday. Throughout the world, churches of all denominations and all nations in many different languages are celebrating the Lord's Supper. And it couldn't have come at a better time. We need this time together to remember the suffering of the Lord and what he has done for each and every one of us. And we need this time to remember that he did so, his suffering, his death, on our behalf. Not just for you and me, but for our neighbors next door, even the ones that we don't particularly care for sometimes. Neighbors across the street, neighbors around the world. "God so loved the world" begins the most memorable passage in all of Scripture in the Gospel of John. Now, the Lord's Supper teaches us about the necessity of unity, and it is a necessity. The Apostle Paul tried to get this point across to the Corinthians. When we look at our churches today, we have to understand these churches are just being established, and they didn't have all the nice buildings and all the theology built around a denomination or the Scriptures as we do. They were a divided church and were following many different teachers and many different teachings. And Paul let them know in no uncertain terms that the divisions they had among themselves were not acceptable. He explained that to participate in the meal and leave others out allows division among themselves and tantamount to eating and drinking judgment upon themselves. And there was a story about a head usher, and I believe it was a Methodist church. I grew up Methodist, and when we received communion, we did not sit in the pews and pass it down the row, and you take out your piece of bread, and you hold it, and then the juice comes by, the wine, you hold it, and we take it. In the Methodist church, in many churches, you come up to the altar, and there's a railing, and ushers will come by, and they will let out a row, and they will come up, you know, maybe six or eight, how many ever the size of the church, but that's probably about the normal. Well, this one usher, and the story was very frustrated because he was trying to get everybody to come up and he was trying to get them to line up perfectly. But he said, he went to the pastor and said, you know, pastor, some of them got 6 inches between them, some 8 inches, and then the one on the end is pushed and he's crowded. And it was very upsetting to him. And he threw up his hands in desperation and said, can't people get close together even in communion? Perhaps the head usher's frustration points out the larger difficulties that we face together on World Communion Sunday. The problem there was the few inches that separate people at the communion rail, as they call it, but in the larger picture, it is far more space that separates us, our differences. We in the church are kept apart by theology. This church has their theology, this has their theology, and this one has an offshoot of that theology. You can go find just about any kind of theology out there that you want. And we're kept apart by politics. We allow that sometimes into the church, and that divides us as churches sometimes, and it divides us as people and even families. The way we do ministry and sociology, all these things can divide us. But perhaps the difference that we've seen between the churches can nowhere be more visible than in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Now, as Presbyterians, as I announced earlier, we practice open communion. We allow anyone to receive communion, even young people, before they've joined the church. We leave that up to the parents. And we invite everyone who's in attendance to receive the Lord's Supper communion. Now, other denominations practice what has been called closed communion. Now, they would not announce that we have closed communion today, but when you come into their church, if you're not a member of their church or not baptized in a certain way, then you are not supposed to take communion when communion is served. Some do not allow you to take communion unless you are a member of that church and that denomination. And some churches, communion is served every week. You go to a lot of, whether it be Methodist or Baptist or Presbyterians, and the first Sunday of the month, they have communion. Some, and it's rarely ever mentioned at all. In Glenshaw Valley, we serve communion 6 times a year. That's been the history since, I guess, the formation of the church. And it might come as a surprise to you that some churches don't serve communion at all, which is very strange to me. So here we are on what we call World Communion Sunday. There are those who would argue that far from bringing us together, such an occasion as this really underscores, when we try to do something worldwide, how divided we really are. In most any city here in the States, well over 50% of the congregations will not be participating in World Communion Sunday. So rather than emphasizing a sense of unity, some would argue it accomplishes just the opposite. They would argue that it proves that the church is not the body of Christ, but instead the church is the broken body of Christ. Why then bother to have such a day? But I think it's still a good thing to do because it says to the community, we believe in communion. We believe in the unity among the churches, because it is a sacrament that the Lord has given us, and it is powerful, it is meaningful, and it is necessary. That's what the Apostle Paul wanted to convey to the Corinthian church in this letter. If there ever was a church divided, it was the Corinthian church. The passage that was read this morning on the Lord's Supper comes from the 11th chapter, buried deep in the book. Paul says that the church is excluding the poor from the meal. The rich bring their food and gather in cliques, and the poor have nothing to eat, and so they are excluded from the feast. Everyone had their own meal brought, not a community type meal. Paul was livid with them. He says, any of you who eat and drink without recognizing the whole body of Christ, eat and drink judgment upon yourselves. We don't have to wait to read the 11th chapter to know that there was division destroying the church. All we have to do is read the very first chapter of Corinthians. No sooner does Paul say hello than he begins firing at them. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? The Apollos, your good shepherd? Did Cephas or Peter call you to Galilee and throw down and tell you to throw down your nets and follow him? These were the questions that the Apostle Paul asked the Corinthians. They were forming these cliques according to who baptized them, who taught them, or who led them to the Lord. Paul had an old-fashioned mess on his hands with these people. But let's ask, what divides us today? Our great nation, I think, has experienced a bond of unity over the past 10, 11 years, a common purpose. Of course, the horrible tragedy of the terrorist attacks has reminded us that we need to be unified and one as best we can in our shared beliefs of freedom in the United States of America. And we've come together in a sense because we've had to. 9/11, horrific as it was, terrible, evil, has helped unify us as a nation. But I'm sad to say this is not so in all the churches today. You need only look at the marquees as you drive down the street and see the United Methodists or the Baptists or the Presbyterians. And within these denominations, you see a Presbyterian USA, a PSA, Evangelical Presbyterian. Can't get along together, so we break off and we start another church. Even though there are hundreds of denominations, we need to remember this morning that there is really only one church, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. If Jesus came back to earth today, he might sit down at the table and say, here's the bread, take and eat. Here's the wine, take and drink. And he might look at us and say, you know, I don't care about your denomination. I really don't. And I don't care about the denomination down the street. What I care about is you and your family and your friends and your neighbors. The year was 1968, and it was an election year, and the country was split pretty much down the middle over the issue of Vietnam. There were many severe domestic problems with race, and as we know, there was major rioting in cities. The Democratic candidate was Hubert Humphrey. The Republican candidate was Richard Nixon. While Nixon was riding his train, whistle-stopping at different towns in upstate New York, he noticed a little girl holding up a sign that said, "Bring us together." And Nixon took that as the saying for his campaign, his theme, "Bring us together." And as we receive the bread and the wine this morning, we need to focus on that. What is it that brings us together as Christians, as people? Yes, there are differences between denominations. Yes, there are differences within the denominations. What the bread and wine represent should transcend those differences. A broken body for us, blood shed for us. That is what will bring us together, if anything at all can. So let the blood serve as a cement to not only bring churches together, but to bring people together. Let the body serve as the bonding agent that holds us together here at Glenshaw Valley as one people, united in our faith and our missions, our discipleship. It is something really that is so simple. but men have made it complex and divisive. So let us come together this morning as a united people, united in purpose, united in mission, united with a sense of brotherhood, united with a sense and dedication of our service to the Lord. And most important of all, let us come together united in our faith as Jesus Christ is our Lord and as our Savior. May the sacrament that we are about to receive in just a few minutes bring us closer to one another and bring us closer to our Lord. May God bless you. Amen. Our communion hymn, Break Thou the Bread of Life, verses 1 and 2 on hymn in 274. You have done on our behalf, that you've called us into relationship with you. And you've told us as Christians, when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Many of us have sins in our lives, many all of us, that we hide, try to hide from you, from the public, from our loved ones, from our church members. Let's take just a moment to confess our sins once again before you, before we receive the Lord's Supper. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. Amen. On the day that our Lord and Savior was betrayed, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and said, "This is my body, which has been given for you. As often as you eat it, do so in remembrance of me." Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." Let us, with a sense of unity and reverence, remember the body of our Lord. On the same day that our Lord and Savior was betrayed, he took the cup of the New Testament for you, saying, "This is my blood, which has been shed for the remission of the sins of the many. As often as you drink it, do so in remembrance of me." Jesus said, "I am the vine, and you are the branches." Apostle Paul wrote, "If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, you shall be saved." Let us once again, with a sense of unity and reverence, remember the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus. Our closing hymn, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, 286.
BJ for coordinating this. As you go from here today, may you go thinking about unity in the church, the body of Christ, unity in your own families, in your neighborhoods. Go spreading the good news of the gospel and go with love. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.